I'd like to look at a passage of scripture in 2 Peter, the first chapter. But I want to lay a little groundwork for my thought. Do you believe it's possible for a person to get saved and experience the power of God in their life and feel the inspiration of God's Spirit, experience God's touch of healing of body and soul, and forget that? Do you believe it's possible for a person to see a miracle, feel a miracle, experience a miracle, and have that robbed from them? I wonder, as I meditated about these things, I feel like the Lord had given me a vision in my mind. Thank you. You ever see pictures of the Holocaust? You ever see pictures of people in third world countries that don't have nutrition? The Lord brought to my mind a vision. I don't know what it means. This, my mind took it in of the world. Possibly of our own people. Thin. Malnourished. Diseased. Not dead. Sick. We know the United States of America is fat and flourishing, so it couldn't have been that. But I wonder if we could roll back all of that and with a spiritual vision see the souls of peoples. See the lives of people as God would look and see them. Captured, imprisoned, starved, diseased. Have you ever seen the faces of people that went through the Holocaust? They're blank. Because you know what the fact of it is that you can say you need grace for things and all that. Do you know there are things you'll go through whether you have grace or not? There's nothing you can do about it. And the mind can only absorb and take so much. And these people, I've seen many pictures of them and them like this. Totally blank. Totally robbed. For their own perseverance. What do you say? For their own... They were only surviving. Survival. They had to block out all to be able to exist through such horror. I think about those things and wonder, what's going to keep me saved? What's going to keep me from going the paths of thousands of people that experienced a wonderful experience in God that couldn't hold it, that never maintained it? Do you know that if you lose your desire to serve God, you've lost? Because God only works with your will, and your will to do it and perform it and embrace it is all you got. If you lose your will to do it, you've lost. We've got to be able to maintain our purpose and will to serve God. The devil is trying to shortchange you. He's trying to sell something cheap to you that you'll sell off your desire. Right. to serve God. He comes in many cheap ways, the scripture says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. It was hot, it was fervent, it was real, the love to God these people had, but because iniquity abounded, they embraced, they allowed it to touch them. What did it touch? It touched their desire. It touched their will to do it. And when you've lost that, you've lost it. Let's look at this scripture. Well, before we do, I'll lay a little bit more foundation. I want to look at a very well-known song in the Evening Light Songbook, number 409. I want you to listen as I read. I want you to listen to these words and think of the inspiration of the writer to capture. Well, I'll challenge you to write a song that captures about eternity and see what you can come up with. But listen to this. I stood. Now, get the vision of this writer. I stood. I picture the writer, the man, standing, looking, beholding, perceiving. I stood at the time-beaten portals. What words? I stood at the openings that through the ages multi-millions have passed. That's what he's saying. I stood at the time beaten, trodden, a path that's well-worn. Many, many, many have went this way. And I stood and beheld and looked and watched that time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had pressed or passed out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. And musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. Silent devotion, thankfulness. I stood and watched where all the saints had trod and went out faithfully into the eternal world. And I adored, I devoted. I'm so glad for it. That there's something about that that's inspiring. I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years and thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in His glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost, for eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to his great judgment seat and thought of the crashing of the ages. What an expression. The crashing of the ages. Get the idea. Something that's moving on at a great speed. And it hits something with such force. Something so solid. Something so unmovable. Do you know what that would do? Do you know the impact of that? I saw the rushing of the ages. I saw all time. Every man, every idea. Every political idea. Thought of man, every dictates of dictators, everything that's ever been, I've seen the crashing of the ages. All of it comes down. Emperors, kings, great men, small men, all men come crashing to one inevitable end, eternity. I cannot believe that man's mind come up with something like that. I think it was an inspiration of God that spoke those things. When time and eternity meet, for time, who has laid many millions, it's going to lay you too. Oh, it'll catch you. Good, bad, time continues on. Oh, I used to go into the coal mines, cold, dark, wet, miserable. And I said many prayers in there and spoke directly to time. Don't fail me now. You go so fast when things are good. You be faithful. Because you're going to get me out of here in a little while. Time keeps right on going. I ain't going to stay forever in there. A few hours seems so long sometimes when you're in misery. But time be faithful. Oh, it always was. Went right on. I haven't been in the mines for years. Years. It's way, way behind me in time. Run right on. Laid many millions to slumber in death's silent shade. Shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. Let us work while 'tis day, brother, sister. For soon shall the master return to garner the wheat that we harvest, the chaff in his fury to burn. Then in haste let us rush to the rescue, but few can we save at the most. Soon millions shall be at the judgment, forever, eternally lost. Well, that's quite a song. I guess we sing that dozens of times through the camp meeting season, many times. It's not my judgment to make, and who can know? But the testimony of the man that wrote this was that he was very, very embittered at the end of his life. He never came back to terms or to a good place that anybody ever knew or testified to that he had ever made his peace again. But he wrote that song. I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost he wrote it. I believe he had something in his soul and something that ran out, and I believe he testified to it, and I believe the man understood things and had those things in him, but he lost it. I'm going to say to you tonight that D.O. Teasley was a better man than I am. I think he was smarter. I think he had more capabilities. But what I've read and saw, and the work that he done and the blessings that he had on him, he's a better man than I'll ever be. Well, what kind of a chance do I have then if a man like that loses out? We have a chance. You can be lost.
That's right.
And I think the Lord wants to tell you tonight, you can be lost. You have not made it yet.
That's right.
There is still life to live. And I can lose my soul in the days to come. In 2 Peter, the first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, that's the experience. This is the experience that God has granted to all saved. This is a divine nature. This is the blessing and what words it was that God has given to us. And we've had the experience of it. And we've marveled at what God has done to us. Listen, I know about some of the lives in this congregation and what you were before you got saved. I know enough to tell some stories if I wanted to. But it wouldn't be edifying. You could do it to me, many of you could. There was something God delivered us from. And you may say, well, I didn't go deep in sin. Well, then you was delivered from something. You had the same deliverance. We all can claim the same deliverance no matter what the path was. It's God that kept you from it. That's what he said. But he didn't stop just with that. He said besides. And beside. Besides, something else is to the side. Something else is here. You have a work. You have a faith. You've got something in your heart. You've had a work. You understand some things. But there's something more. You're going to have to keep going. You have a desire to be saved? That's good. But I'm going to tell you, you better protect that desire. Because there's an enemy wanting to take it from you. And he knows how. And it's the one thing that people don't realize. We preach against the particulars. And well, we should, that we might be very aware. But I'm going to tell you something. When he sneaks in and takes the desire from you, it don't matter who tells you about the particulars. It don't matter. So besides this, giving all diligence, all attention, all of your energies, be diligent. That means you're there looking, watching. Be diligent. You mean I got to do something after I get saved and do that? Yeah, you do. You got to be diligent. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith. He starts out with the add to your faith. He already has spoke of this faith. Like precious faith. You've already got that. You got that precious faith. But add to that faith virtue. That word virtue, moral power. Is basically what it means. It means strength. Strength to do what? I know there's different personalities. Thank God works with different personalities in different ways. And people will come off in their life in different ways. But it's of the utmost importance that you add to your faith moral power. To live for God. The more you testify, listen to me, the more you testify of your experience, the more you'll believe it. The richer it becomes to you, the more you talk about it. Now, I use this expression quite often, but do you ever hear the expression that they told a lie so much that they believed it themselves? Well, it's surely, if somebody could tell a lie till they believed it, surely you could tell the truth till you believe it. Listen, the devil has no problem with repeating himself. We have prayer meetings sometimes to where nobody wants to say much about, well, we have an idea if it isn't some big, monstrous testimony that is something nobody's ever heard and is going to move everybody in their seats. Well, I better not say anything or people think I'm pretty shallow. I'm going to tell you that sometimes you need to say, I got the victory this week over the devil and sit down. Amen. And you'll believe and have more power in your own life. The penalty for not keep going is to lose your desire.
That's right.
To be robbed of what God's trying to do for you. Do you know Brother Clifford Wilson had mentioned many times a month, if nothing more, stand up and say, I thank God I'm saved, and sit down. You're saying, well, you can't dictate that. No, I can't. According to your own desire, you want to live for God? This moral virtue has to do with this virtue that he's talking about, this moral power has the implication in it that you're willing to testify for God. That means it should be, honestly, it should be easy in this congregation. Hey, come on, we all believe the same thing. And ain't nobody in here knows, that don't know how hard it is to stand up and do something for God.
That's right.
Now, Brother Danny, we're ministers. Brother Danny, I'm going to refer to you. Is it hard to get up?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's still hard on Wednesday night sometimes for me to bend them joints right there and stand up. And I feel so silly sometimes, and I sat down feeling like a fool sometimes, testifying on Wednesday night. Maybe I'm the only one. You know what the virtue is? Moral power. To be able, with the willingness to be able to say, I love Jesus.
Amen.
All right, it should be easy for us because we're of like mind. I do too. But can you stand up and say it? Now, Lord, help us.
Yes.
Can you stand up and say it when you're the only one in the room that will even say the word Jesus? Is it necessary? How necessary? It's very necessary. I ain't saying one time's going to make you to be lost. But if you lose it altogether, you're lost. And that's why he said, be diligent.
That's right.
And when you find yourself with not enough courage to speak for Jesus, it'd be a real good time to go pray about it. Because if you don't have the moral courage in a crowded Cracker Barrel to bow your heads and thank God for the food, you may want to look and see where your direction's going.
That's right.
Is it easy? It ain't for me. You know what I need? Some virtue. I need some virtue. I need to add it to my faith because I got faith, but I need some virtue to, I don't know what the world's up, but what difference does it make? They all need a Savior. They all need Jesus. And to be honest with you, they look at my family and they already know what I'm hiding anyway. They look at us and always look at us. They know who we are. And yet the devil will rob the opportunities for me to add virtue to my faith. He'll rob me from that. And strangely enough, I'll tell you how it is. We stopped over at the car lot today. Doyle wanted to look at something over there, and we stopped over at the car lot. I was standing there, and just now this old fellow come walking around the van. Well, somebody mentioned, we were sitting in the lot with my van, and he's come around looking at my van. And one of them mentioned, I think he wants to buy our van. I think he did, but he walked around the window, and I rolled the window down, and he kind of looked, and he said, from West Virginia, huh? And I said, yeah, you ever in West Virginia? And I thought he was going to say, oh, yeah. No, never been there. I had an opportunity to add virtue to my faith, and I didn't do it. He went on and said something. I said I traveled a lot and got a lot of miles on the van. We talked about that, and I said I'm a minister, and we travel the country, and that's why I got this and this and that. And he a little bit, and he said, "You're an evangelist." You know how easy it would have been saying, yeah, and I'm over in Webb City. We're having a revival. Come on over. But I didn't. And I wanted to say that tonight because I want you to know that we're all battling the same thing.
That's true.
And I'm not going to stand up here and act like that there's a preacher up here and he don't battle. Of course he does.
That's right.
But we're in it together on this, and there's something that we got to have if we're going to survive the thing. We're going to have to add virtue. You know one of the things we're going to struggle with? It's called boredom. It's called just plain life. And I'm going to be honest with you. If all that ever happens to your experience is that you dress yourself on Sunday mornings in your right clothes and come here to the chapel, you're going to end up like D.O. Teasley. If we don't add to our faith the things that God said to add to our faith, we're going to end up in that kind of a place. Because we'll lose the will to be a Christian.
That's right.
And once it's gone, you don't have nothing. So he says, add to your faith virtue. Lord help us. I don't know how to say it better, and I wish I could. I wish there could be more inspiration of the Lord on us right now to get us to understand that it is important to testify and witness and give into that for the souls of others.
That's right.
Absolutely. But for your own soul.
Yeah,
that's right.
There was an old story of one that went around every day for 30 years. He testified of the Lord, told about the Lord, and finally somebody came up to him and said, you've been doing this for 30 years and you ain't changed anybody's mind. He said, it's true. But they ain't changed my mind either. Because my continual doing it held it. I kept telling them about the love of Jesus. I kept telling them about salvation. And every time I did, it fortified my own position on it. To my own heart. So it's valuable. Alright? Add to your faith virtue and knowledge. Knowledge. Study real hard. Take in as much information as I can get. Set myself to memory all that I can. And I'll know something that'll be valuable. That ain't what he's talking about. Not even in a little bit. Add to it a godly wisdom. Now what am I going to need with that? Do you know the truth of it is that you don't know the smallest seed that you may have planted today is going to ruin you. That's really what this is talking about. A wisdom to understand the rudiment, the beginnings of things. Add to your experience the understandings of what little things do for you and don't do for you. And what the process of time does to things. Because you'll look at things and say, it's so little, it's harmless. Brother Jim White told the story of a farmer that was sitting out on the ledge of this rock cliff that overlooked his farm with another person, another boy, I think. And these little foxes come out of their hole down on a bench below them. They were so cute. They was just little fuzzy foxes. And they come out there wrestling, fighting around, playing. You know how pups do that kind of thing? The old farmer pulls up his gun and shoots them. Well, why did you do that? Well, because he raised chickens. Well, these little foxes can't hurt chickens. Wisdom. There'll come a day that little things grow up to big things. They wasn't that cunning. They wasn't that sly. They wasn't that ferocious. But they sure were going to be. Wisdom will say to us in the rudiment stages, now I want to try to get the understanding, because if we're not careful, we'll just think that that means, well, I shouldn't read this book. Okay, it does. But there's something much more in that. Because there's something here that I need to understand about myself. What is this doing to me as a person? What is this taking away from me that I'm supposed to have? It may seem the easiest, simplest thing. It may seem so innocent that I am put in a position that I can either do this or this. But if I start down the road of neglect, here's a person that has some need that God has put into my life. And wisdom will speak and say to me, you better tenderize your heart. You better keep it tender. You better not harden to that situation or that person. Well, it ain't a big deal. They don't have a big need. And they did say a smart alecky word to me. And I'm not really, if they really had a need, God knows I'd come running. But this ain't a big need. But wisdom speaks to that. Is that where you're going? Okay, there's a thing that I need to straighten out. Maybe some little thing between me and a brother. Wisdom will say, you don't correct that, you'll never be right. You'll find it so much easier to do it the next time. It didn't harm me. God still blessed me. You know, by increment, the Holocaust done that to those people. When they were first captured, they weren't like that. Of brutal work and no food,
in poor conditions, they got the way they were.
That's right.
And by a little bit, without wisdom, so will you and I. And to knowledge, temperance. Oh, let's see. Did I write something down on that? Basically meaning a proper use of the world. Just a proper use. Because God made the world. But it can be it's so easily abused. And you can apply this. And I have no knowledge of in it is any particular, so take me for what I'm saying. So many people don't manage the things of this earth in a right way and get themselves in a place that they can never really serve God the way they ought to.
That's true.
They misuse the world. They long for things they shouldn't long for. They reach for things they shouldn't reach for. At times they shouldn't, and all those things. It simply means a proper use of all things that God has given us. You say, well, what much difference does it make? It will rob you of your purpose. It will rob you of your willingness. It will rob you of your desire for it.
That's right.
You know, I like to fish. I don't think there's anything wrong with fishing. But I do know that if it ain't properly used. I have a passion in me for growing things. Every spring, I do the same thing every year. Even when I say earlier back in the way, I'm not going to do it, I usually end up doing it anyway, and I get the seed catalogs. I don't have time to grow nothing. And I know I don't. And every year, I come down to the same thing where I have to consecrate that. Oh, I'd like to be able to testify to you tonight that I'm just bigger than it, and it don't, but that ain't what the Lord's put in my life. I love to do it, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to do it. If I had my way, I would plow up the biggest piece of ground you ever and raise all tomatoes, squash, just all kind of stuff. And if it was nothing more to give it away, I'd like to see it grow. It's just something that fascinates me. I love to do it. You know what? If I was to give my passion to that, you all wouldn't see me through the summer. Unless you come to get some vegetables. I mean, that was because it's my passion, my desire. It's a proper use. And you're not careful, there's people that go totally off and lose their true desire to serve God because of the competition to hunt, to fish, to play ball, to do all these things, and it can be whatever your problem is. He says temperance.
That's right.
You've got to add this to your experience.
That is true.
You better add it to your experience. And you better learn how to master it and use the things in your world to glorify God with. Or you're going to become bored with God.
That's right.
You're going to become bored with God, and that's going to take over. There was a time that the children of Israel had went out into the wilderness. And God was feeding them manna. And they started complaining and whining and bawling about the manna. The first description in the Bible of manna sounds like what I would call a graham cracker. Now, you just have to give me liberty for that because it sounded like it would be kind of a honey sweet type thing. And I'd say, I like them. They ate that for 40 years. Now, come on. Breakfast, lunch, just out of our reach. So, after a while, the description of it wasn't nearly as favorable of manna. Manna was completely healthy, all in the tree, everything they needed to live. I am convinced that that was quite a miracle that God gave them. And you know, they started comparing manna, the experience, with leeks and spices and onions and melons in Egypt. All of the spicy things and all that. And they said, look at this. Do you know that was a representation of all their life? Basically what they were saying, we're out here in humdrumity. We're out here in nothingness. We're out here in boredom. We're out here and we're eating manna and we're going along drinking water. Water and manna. Water and manna. Over there there's wine, there's grapes, there's all these juices, there's this, there's melons, there's all this. And we're here comparing that. Do you know what that... They made a mistake. And when you get in that kind of wilderness experience, you'll make the same mistake. I'm going to tell you, someone that stays in the wilderness will lose their desire. They will lose their desire because they'll always look at the flair of the world. They'll look at the entertainment of Hollywood and of musicians and of singers. And if you want to go for pure excitement, it'll beat us. I'm talking about excitement. I'm talking about blessing. I'm talking about excitement, something to get the attention and the mind. If you compare that kind of experience with the world wins.
That's right.
But God had promised them Canaan.
That's right.
They compared the wrong thing. You have to be in bondage to eat the leeks and the garlics and the melons.
That's right.
But over in Canaan you can be free and milk and honey and grapes on stems and pomegranates and all these things that you can eat freely and all that. And they compared the wrong things. If you don't learn how, if I don't learn how to be temperate in this world, I'll compare the wrong things. And I'll lose the desire to serve God because it's just plain dull. You don't go on. And live for God is dull. Add to patience, and to patience, godliness. Godliness means, oh wait there, I think I'll skip patience. Patience. Bearing all things with an even mind. You know how the mind goes. You know how you think and all that. Temperance means bearing all your situations with an even mind. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Not with great excitements or great depressions or oh no's. Even. Bearing. Even minded. Straight through it all. Patience. Enduring whatever it is they endure with an even mind. Someone looks on, it isn't hostile. It isn't weeping. We have our ways, don't we, of facing, of trying to handle our situations. And we allow the emotions to take over and we'll weep or we'll bluster or we'll do something in the face of it. An even mind. Just calm. Trusting God, going through my problem to get its benefits. We need to learn to add that. Oh, hey, you probably have a chance tomorrow to prove this one. Hey, Brother Dan, what about when the bolt just won't come out? He's a better mechanic. He don't have that problem. Man, I do. I'll ship them heads off and then guess what? When I get a good lock on it, I'll put some bar and I'll torque that thing and snap. You don't snap bolts off, do you? I snap them off. Why do I do this? It don't seem like anybody else. I'll change my tire and break the lugs off. Oh, a year ago. Even mind. You can bluster and blow. You can throw your hammer. You can weep and cry. Or you can just say, it always happens to me. I'll just accept it. Go in here and just sit and depressed. But you'll have a chance to be even-minded about it.
Right.
You'll have your chance to just be, Lord, help me. Even-minded. This is just a place for me to go through that's going to be made better. I never had anything that wasn't fixable. I never had anything that couldn't be replaced. The water went out, the pump went out. Well, I get another pump, put it in there, and after I get through, I say, well, what was all the commotion in my spirit about anyway? It's like nothing to be fixed. You children, come here and mess this house up. You can sweep it. You can sweep it, you can clean it. Why, you broke that glass. Dollar General's got all kind of. Everything's replaced, even-minded.
Understand what I'm saying? You'll have the opportunity to add that to your life. To that godliness. Lord, help us here. Godliness. In this time world? In this 2014? Then, where every magazine rack's so filthy? Where everything around is corrupted? Godly. That means to fear God with love. That's basically what godliness is. To fear God. And live your life according to the fear of God. Always placing God in the actions of your life. It speaks of actions. Godliness is an action.
That's true.
Of life. Did I put God in and I do this? Why do you act like that? I fear God. And I love Him. Fear God with love. I fear God, and it's what motivates me. It's why I do what I do, where I go, why I dress, all those kind of things. Not just for your eye, the people's eye, for the confidence, sir. We know that all plays a part. We're all joined together here. But I want to tell you, I'm up on my property sometimes and you ain't there. I'm driving in my truck sometimes and you ain't there.
That's right.
I'm out by myself a lot of times when I don't think eyes are watching. I was in my yard one day, working on something, and I remember something that I had to unsnap, and I got me a flat screwdriver, and I was pushing on it, and I had it held like this, and I was pushing on it like this, and that flat screwdriver slipped and went right under that fingernail, and it come right out on the back side of that fingernail, but it didn't open the fingernail on the side. It just popped in under there and out the other side, and it hurt. I was you, and then, damn, oh! And I thought, I got a lot of neighbors around here. And that's what I thought. And I know pain's going to make you do something, but I remember thinking, need to be even minded. Yeah, you're going to shout about that, but you're going to fear God. You're going to be godly. In the time that you have, you'll have that opportunity to be godly.
That's right.
We was in the Walmart one day, and my dear precious wife that I love so much, she healed me with the buggy. You ever been healed with the buggy? And she healed me good, and it hurt. I mean, it got me on both heels, and I turned around at her, and there was people. And it come to my mind right then. You better watch it. You look holy. You look holy. You look godly. You better be careful. I didn't really realize how it looked until just not long after that. There was a guy walking along, and he didn't even have anything in his hand. And the woman behind it had a child on her arm and pushing the buggy. It's the world we live in. I looked at that and thought, and as they walked along, and she got to busy with something, and she healed him. And he turned around. I just said, Lord, help us. Godliness means something. People are looking on, and we have a testify with your life.
That's true.
But I'm going to tell you, it's a must that you add it. You've got to add the concern, the care for godly, holy things.
That's right.
A carefulness. What carefulness that wrought in you. What determination did you have? Willingness grows. The more you do it, the stronger you become in it. What this is saying is, if you stop in your experience, you will die.
That's right.
Then in the stopping experience, you keep adding these things to your life or you wither and die. I don't know what the vision means. You take it for yourself. But could you imagine us as a church looking like them people at the holiday in our souls? Withered and thin and diseased and pitiful. Not dead. But dying.
That's right.
Dying. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. It's unmeasurable.
That's right.
This is for your own soul. You think somebody does you wrong or you got a complaint, I'm going to tell you something. You better add brotherly kindness to it.
That's right.
Because it's your own soul that you'll lose.
Right.
And you do it long enough and hard enough, and listen, can I not say this? And us all understand it? We've lost a lot of people. Why? How did they go from believing so strongly? I've heard them testify beyond what I can ever say. We've lost preachers that were better preachers than me. How did we get there? What happened to the desire? What happened to the reality? Is it possible? Is it possible to have a reality in your heart and lose all the reality? Is it possible to believe God healed my body and not believe that it happened later? Is it possible to have felt God's love and inspiration in your heart that you could read songs and articles and testify a great testimony and get to the place that you believed your own testimony was a lie? We've lost too many. We don't want to lose any more. So add these things. It says, be diligent to do it. I hope this is just the start of people saying, I'm going to look at this. And I'm going to write it down. And I'm going to purpose to make this a part of my life. And this thing will open up and be alive.
That's right.
Your testimony will thrill me. When I'm down, I'll feel you. And it'll be alive because there's life in it.
Right.
And then when I make my stupid comments that I make, and I may have to come back and say, I'm sorry. I said something wrong. There's brotherly kindness.
Yes.
And I understand when you do stuff like that, and I'm willing. There was a woman out here at the turn. She was pulling out of that gas station we was pulling in, and she got confused seeing me coming, and she went to drive right out. There's two lanes going back up to the highway, and there's one over where I'm at, and she was coming over in my lane. Before she caught herself, I had to slow down and stuff. And she went out there and she was so, well, what was I about to do? You know what she got from us? No honk of the horn or shake of the fist. She got understanding. You know how many times I've done stuff like that? Man, I'm the world's worst. Spicy at night, I'm night blind, and I'll be going on an off ramp going on. I mean, I can't see real good, and I'm doing that, and people are ugly. Oh, I am at mercy. She got a friendly smile from me out there. It's okay. I understand. You know what? There's brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. And we're going to get on more to something here in a little bit. We'll go get with it quick. Brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness charity. And it goes from a brotherly kindness that goes into the family situation or the church. Then charity expands that out unto all people everywhere.
That's right.
Now there's a reason this is very good for your soul.
Yes, it is.
You add charity to all men to your life. And when you feel otherwise, you check that and ask God to change the way you are. Because when I started out, I wanted to say something. I know about some people's lives. And I know where you'd be, even though you didn't go there, I know where you'd be without God. And I know where I was at without God. And I know where I'd go back without Him. So, it's fairly easy for me to look at people and have charity. If you do these, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. If you want to look into the interpretation of that, it says that you will be active. Inspired, not bored. You will be alive to it. It'll be something that's working in your life. Many Christians aren't happy because they don't add this to their life. Then there's no fulfillment. There's no thrill. There's no desire.
and it becomes humdrum. Then they come to service and they say the preacher's preaching at them. I've always amazed at that because they say that to me and I know I wasn't. Now, if they say it about one of the other brothers, I'll say, well, I don't think he was, or, well, you know, I don't know what he knew. But when they say it to me, I say, that ain't true. I know I didn't preach at you like that. If you felt something, God's talking to you. And you're out of the place that you can even feel it or know it. All you can do is blame the human element about you because you ain't. I'm going to tell you. You go ahead and say thank God. Amen. Well, if the preacher's saying, oh, he's preaching right at me, he knew I was. Well, why don't you look at it the other way? Thank you, Lord. Help me to add these things to my life. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Now, wait a minute. He just talked about this precious gift of and divine, how do you say that? Nature, divine nature, and all that was given. But at the end of that, you lack these things, you're blind. And cannot see afar off. And have forgotten, now listen, and have forgotten. This is the burden that I've been packing. And have forgotten. You forgot something. You forgot who you were. You forgot where you come from. You forgot what this is about. You've forgotten that he had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You forgot that. Don't forget that. Remember that. It'll be of the most importance to you that you remember you're lost. And if you lose your desire to serve God, you'll be lost. You don't add these things to your life. This is a very emphatic scripture. It's hard for the English to be emphatic as the original writers wrote this scripture. This was very emphatic about it. It meant it that all diligence was very emphatic. If you don't do these things, you'll lose your soul. Because eventually you're going to get to the place that you don't care. You know, one of the hardest places. I warn people. You know, you can push somebody around. I warn bullies. You can push somebody around until they don't care. And when they don't care, you better run. You can mistreat people till they don't care. But when they don't care, I'm going to tell you, as somebody that believes in the Lord, you push me around. But if you push me till I don't care, you're going to be in trouble. Don't get till you don't care. You get till you don't care, you'll throw it away. I'm tired of being bored. I'm tired of my life being this way. I'm tired of just enduring. I'm tired of just eating manna. I'm tired of just being hot. Do you know somebody that's on fire for God, somebody that cares, can go to Monarch with it at 103, 105 degrees? Never mention it. Now you stick with me. Or they may say it's hot in here, but this is worth it. When people don't care, they won't go. Or it's complain all the time and is something got to be done and all those kind of things. They don't care. When you care, it's rich. It's rich. It's valuable. Gives me something. If you like these things, he's blind and he cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Lord, help us always to remember what God has brought us from and brought us through. Lord, remember the times that you healed my children. I don't want to be like them children of Israel, crossed the Red Sea with a mighty deliverance, sung the songs of deliverance when they got to the other, a mighty work of God. Moses goes up in there for 40 days and they're making idols. How quickly you forget God's purpose. Well, if you look into that, And I challenge you, look into it. When God delivered them, He kept hardening the Pharaoh's heart that He might disprove every god that they claimed. Before the 10 plagues was over, He had disproved every god that had been a part of Israel's life. Saying, I am God, they're not. That god of the Nile they got set up, I'll turn it red. That god of the creatures that they have, I'll make the creatures come out. The god of the skies that they have, I'll have it hellfire on you. All the way down the line, every god they had fell. And then after all that proof, they cross over there and start making idols again. You know what they forgot? They forgot where they came from. They forgot what God was doing. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. So I'm going to reverse that. I think it's a given. If you fall, you didn't do these things. This is very valuable. I pray God would inspire this to our hearts, that we would be willing to categorize this and put it in our lives. And when the devil comes and challenges brotherly love or charity or patience, or he comes and challenges godliness, or he challenges that virtue that I say I'm going to do it. He didn't know about that. It's the Lord's strength. We know that. But Lord, give me the grace and strength to be able to stand up and say, Jesus, save me. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.